Okay, we are going live, and good afternoon, everyone. Hopefully you're doing well on this wonderful Tuesday. It's nice and dry here in Southern California, which is a bit of a rarity nowadays. We can thank, I guess, global warming for that madness. But hopefully you're doing well no matter where you are. Sorry for my slight delay. I'm about 5 minutes tardy. I was having problems with my podcasting account. And yes, guys, above and beyond doing on Instagram, on YouTube Live, I also have podcast networks where this happens live as well. And you can always listen to it on your favorite podcast networks, whether it's Podbean, Anchor, now known as Spotify Podcasting, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, you name it, just search for BCMoto and we are good to go. Oh, I see so much love here. Carols and Pix, thank you so much for joining. Appreciate you. Stephanization, we always have good debates. Bonjour to you as well. PCP Rocks, Patricia. Hello, Patricia. For those of you who don't know her, she's an amazing person, part of our Motor Mythbusters franchise and I would say design and production team, and she makes sure everything is going smoothly on set. So I'm indebted to her deeply. She's a great woman and a pleasure to make her acquaintance, and she's here today as well. Kim Ramsing, good seeing you as well. Thank you so much for joining. Forgive my slight, speech. I'm wearing some braces and it's kind of bothering me a little bit, so I'm kind of speaking a little bit funny, so please bear with me. BC's a Turbo King, says CBR600RRS. Thanks for the kind words. Yes, I do love turbocharging. Started off my life in high performance, high RPM, small displacement engines, like what's in that Insight, Blue Insight over there, YouTube over there, right there on Instagram. And transitioned over to turbocharging and now mixing up with some electrons, as the one thing that's commonality between all those three is I like to have fun and go fast. So that's pretty cool indeed. What's up, Sneaky Mark 4? Love your name. Thank you so much for joining. Good afternoon, Dapper Dabber 710. It's been a while, sir. Good afternoon to you. My day is going quite well. It's nice and dry. Pretty excited as well. And also, speaking of excitement, I'm excited that these are back. I think Lindsay's here as well. And these are back in stock. These are lowering caps for the 5th Gen Viper right there. And for those of you who have Vipers that, by the way, America's supercar as far as I'm concerned, this allows you to lower it properly about 2 inches all around, give you that nice fender to tire look without worrying about your electronics going haywire. You can still have your different electronic settings on the car. They're very cost effective, like $350 for a set, very cost effective, last the entire lifetime of the vehicle, replace the factory really crazy ones, and very easy to install in a few minutes. So I'll put those on the side. I'll do a post probably tomorrow about them, but we have them back in stock, ready for you Dodge SRT Viper lovers. All right, let's see here. Hey, BC, says the Onyx. I see, the Onyx 502G. Do you have any job open positions to join? Well, at this time, we are a bit full, but we may need some in-house wiring people. If you do have some skill sets that can help us here at BCMoto, please write to us at sales@bcmoto.com. Provide your resume, and we can see what we can do to make you part of the team. Braces, going to have that for a while, says Corvo. Yeah, I actually have had it for a while, honestly. I've been doing the Invisalign thing, so it looks quite invisible. And I've had it for a few months. The only difference is I usually take it out when I consume food and when I talk to you guys on Tech Tuesday. But I was rushing so much to get my podcasting thing going that I didn't take it out. So now it sounds like I have a weird lisp, because it sounds weird with these braces in. But I should be done with this in probably a month. And I'll just be back to nighttime retainers, which is pretty cool. Okay, let's see here. Cheers to you as well, Senior Pizza 79. Thank you so much. Dayton Area Car Talk reporting in. Is going well, sir. Thank you so much for joining. Appreciate you. Is a 9 second CRX behind, says Stephanization. No, the CRX is long gone. So for those of you who do not know, the CRX is one that is the first performance car I had when I came to the United States. Kind of made my name, had a bunch of records with that CRX. I started out with a D15, played around with D16s, went back to D15 engines, single cams, and then ended up going to a F22A. It was in my garage in my house in Hacienda Heights for many years, collecting dust when I transferred over to the Insight. So I took all the technology from the CRX, put it into the Insight, and can you believe I gained 2 to 3 tenths and almost 4 miles an hour just from going from a more aerodynamic car being the Insight versus the CRX, even though the Insight was slightly heavier. And the one thing that remained with those two chassis as they stay unibody with glass front windshield it was just really a lot of fun. So it's not the CRX back there. It is the Honda Insight, my 06 Insight that we had a lot of fun with and broke even more records to boot. And stayed naturally aspirated in the time frame as well. I see the wagon back there. It's a CRPC. Yep, the wagon is right there. There it is. For those on YouTube, there's you on Instagram. Yep, it is there indeed. Let's go, Braces, says Jaeger Pilot on it. YouTube Live. Thank you so much. You're so kind. So funny. I should just not say anything. I just felt more subconscious because of how I'm speaking because of it. But it's okay. Necessary evil. All right. Let's see here. My guy says Superstar 80. Thank you so much. Appreciate the kind words indeed. Peace, love, and blessings to you as well. Thank you so much. All right. Thoughts on a Delta 272 cam on an F22A, says Dapper 710. Yeah, I can share that with you. I'm familiar with the company Delta. They make camshafts, and I think they're located in the Pacific Northwest somewhere. The one thing that I did not like about the Delta 272 cam is it is a profile for a domestic placed on an import cam. Now, what does that mean? Our camshafts tend to want to rise slowly and fall off quickly. It's just a design. If you look at any camshaft in the lever rotation for Hondas, that's ideal. The Delta guys took a profile that's more for domestic, that doesn't follow that same profile, and regrinds it on a standard F22A camshaft. Now, what are some of the advantages there? It's slightly better than factory. It is a performance camshaft. It's fairly cost-effective, but not designed or optimized for your engine. While the camshafts that we have for the F22A, we have over 67 different grinds for the F22A. They're all tested and allow you the opportunity to improve significantly as well. And for that, you get very good bang for your buck. So in other words, even though it's a little bit more expensive, you get a lot more performance and it's designed for your vehicle impeccably. So you can get more performance than a 272 from Delta without the, how should I say, crazy loopy idle, but more performance. And if you want something aggressive, we can provide you that as well. So with the Beast Motor cans for F22A and a ton of records with that as well, we can do everything from mild to wild to emissions friendly to full off drag racing. So those are my thoughts on that. I've had customers who have upgraded from the 272 and saw significant power improvements and better idle qualities, whether they're tuned or not. So I hope that helps. Just here to tell you, person, that you're a legend, says Dreaded Photo. Appreciate the kind words. You know, to be honest with you, I just love cars and love doing great things. I have a team here that without their support, I really am nothing. My team is everything. I'm not an island. It's not a one-man thing here. It's a team that allows me to be successful here at Beast Moto. And yeah, I appreciate that. But on the same token, it's a team effort and more great things are to come indeed. I saw your single cam turbo wagon for sale a few months ago. Yeah, Daily Driven Los. And I have a story behind that as well that I'm sure you'd be excited to share and move this kid around. Years ago, guys, as far back as 2007, I built this single cam wagon that made 724 horsepower on pump gas and water methanol injection. And then I ended up going a little bit with some race gas to even make things even more robust. I kind of pushed the envelope because I saw a little speckling on my spark plugs with the water methanol. I guess I didn't maybe have enough water methanol for the kind of power and boost I was running. Well, long story short, I enjoyed that wagon. It looked like that, but instead of being an all-wheel drive sequential K, it was a front-wheel drive, kind of laggy, D16 Z6, which made a lot of power. And it was a perfect drag car, just a lot of fun indeed. But the bad thing is, as much as I love driving that car in the Southern California area, a lot of people try to steal it. I caught people twice, maybe thrice in broad daylight trying to steal the car. It made me very uncomfortable. I got tired of it. I put it up for sale as a whole, and people were lowballing me in normal Honda fashion. So I ended up parting it out. And then there's a gentleman, Zach from G&J, he picked up the drivetrain. I had people who bought the ECU. I had some other people with a harness. Another person who bought the water methanol kit. Sold the turbo separately. Sold the wheels separately. Sold some interior accoutrements. I think I had a booster pump from MSD. Sold that separately. Just parted the car out. The intercooler went somewhere else. And then what was left was the roller. So there's a gentleman up the hill here in Southern California, like near his Hesperia area, who bought the shell. And then when I went to build this, I wanted to buy it back from him, but he tripled the price on me, so I ended up building one from scratch with a donation vehicle from Buddy Club. So that's what that is right over there. So that being said, it's still on sale. No one's bought it. I think the gentleman wanted too much. I gave it to him for less than even half what he's asking for now. So I get it. He wants to make a couple bucks on it. I get it. But yeah, it is a legitimate real car. I get a lot of messages from many of you like, hey, BC, is this even your car? Is this someone trying to, you know, catfish us or is it a scam? No, it's a proper BC Motor D16. And the cool thing is I feel like a few years from now, it's going to be worth quite a bit. So if you have the ability to pick that up and keep it in its normal state, please do. It'll be a nice investment for you. From YouTube, Diego Pilot says, what are your thoughts on putting boosted K24 or a V8 NA into a Toyota Mark 10? Go would be a 500 horsepower. What's your opinion? Or should one just try the EV swap like what you did on the K3V? So I like all your options there. And it really depends on your budget. The thing is that the K3V, because it was my first EV, it was very, very expensive. It was well into six figures to build that car, way into it for me to build that particular vehicle. And it was a lot of work and a lot of, you know, try and error. If I were to do it nowadays, it wouldn't cost that much, which I've done other cars for myself and my clients as well. But it really pushed the envelope in terms of, how should I say, zero emissions performance technology. Pushes the envelope there. So I love it. For me, I love EVs. I love the torque. I love the speed. In the performance realm, it has this nice, cool sound. I love it. But from a VA swap, like I assume you mean an LS or LT, versus a boosted K24, the boosted K24 is pretty cool. Amazing aftermarket support, very cost effective. You can get a lot of, you can reach your 500 horsepower goal quite easily with just pistons, rods, and you can leave your stock head and stock cams, and you want to do valve train, of course. With turbo and engine management, you're good to go. For a V8 NA, it sounds cool, but it's been done to death. We need more K-series projects out there. And it's much lighter weight than what you have with your V8 setup, especially if you want with an LT. So one of my two choices based upon that, cool factor and the ability to reach and exceed your goals, K24 booster would be the ticket. But if you have the resources to kind of push the envelope and technology, an EV swap wouldn't be bad at all as well. So thanks for the question from YouTube, Jaeger Pilot. Appreciate you indeed. One of Jack's friends from PCA, thank you, Amir. Appreciate seeing you as well. By the way, you guys may know the Porsche Club of America, PCA, an amazing group. I have never, ever, ever, ever seen such a group where so much camaraderie is at the paramount of that particular institution. And what I mean by that, I've gone to IBOC meets or Honda meets. I've seen fellow Honda files on the road. And sometimes when I drive my minivan or the wagon out there, I kind of get some weird mad dog looks. It's kind of weird. But with a Porsche, I can drive a Boxster. I can drive a Taycan. I could drive a 911. I could even drive a 928. And across the street, if another Porsche file, a guy in a Porsche there, he flashes his light, he or she flashes their lights, waves their hand. It's just this great camaraderie. And the PCA has more members on the planet than any car group in the world, which is amazing, right? And they have events every weekend, rain or shine, all across the globe. So yeah, I just love those guys. And thank you so much, Amir, for joining us this afternoon on the BC Motor Tech Tuesday. Appreciate your presence indeed. And keep the good stuff going. Does a crankshaft sensor make a knocking noise? No, it does not, ATL Angel. And when you mean crankshaft sensor, I assume that you mean the one that has the pickups for crank angularity or speed. It does not make noise. That sensor should have, from whatever pickup it is, a decent amount of distance, even though sometimes it's very small, not enough to contact it. So if it's making a knocking noise, if you have a knocking noise coming from your bottom end, unfortunately, it may be something as serious as a spun bearing. A sensor would not make that sound at all. So hopefully something will resolve very soon, and keep us posted on what you uncover. Do you come to the Low Show in Pennsylvania? No, I have not had the opportunity. Usually I get invited by promoters to come to events. I have not had the unique opportunity, Flow Topper, of going to the Low Show in Pennsylvania. But I'm not opposed to it. I love traveling. I got an invitation today from Nissan to go out to Tennessee, so I may do that sometime soon. We'll see how things go, you know? Have you ever taken any of your Porsches to a drag strip? Absolutely, Abel. I'm a drag racer at heart, and I've had the opportunity to take a few of my Porsches out there. Let's see here. How do you like the F20B, the blue top? I like it a lot. So the F20B, not to be confused with the F20C that exists in the S2000, is a twin cam blue top engine that exists that looks more like a Prelude setup. So if you look at the Prelude, it's a twin cam setup. F20B has a very similar bore as the F22A in terms of where it's like 95 millimeters from factory. The sleeves can be bored out, so it doesn't have FRM like you see with H22. But a lot of the components are interchangeable. And I like it. It's a nice JDM spec engine, has a lot of potential, and looks pretty cool because you're not like every other H22 or twin cam engine out there. So if you have one, hold on to it. Those things are coming, are becoming a little bit rare. Jonathan says, teamwork makes the dream work. Absolutely. Without a team, we are nothing. Together, we create wonderful things, and the best is yet to come. Hey, Kuya, BC, says Tokista. Hope all is well. See you soon at Expo with the Soulless Gathering. Ha ha, very funny. So what Tokia is referring to is this amazing series known as Electrify Expo. The Electrify Expo is a series event. Almost think of it as a SEMA for everything EV. And you can go there and, you know, participate in so many different activities. Even for kids, there's a little kit area where they can drive around with zero emissions vehicles. A lot of manufacturers are there, Volvo, Kia, Hyundai, Tesla, Porsche. You can go there and test drive cars. And even if you're a hardcore EV enthusiast, even if you're EV curious, it's a good place to go and, you know, and get involved and see what the hoopla is about and drive one or experience being driven in one. And it's really a blast. And it can kind of open your eyes. And with the Soulless comment, I completely disagree. If someone feels that, let's say, a quiet Model 3 or Model S or Leaf is Soulless, what do you think of a factory Corolla or a Nissan Versa or Mitsubishi Colt? Are those Soulless too? Because they don't make much of any sound. The thing is that a lot of these vehicles are very, very exciting. As a matter of fact, I read recently about some of my peers who went out to Laguna Seca with the new Veloster. The new Ioniq 5N, and they said it is the best track EV they've ever experienced, and it has so much soul, it's so much aggressive. I'm going to reach out to Hyundai and see if we can get one of those and give you guys a front seat ticket to my experience with such a vehicle. So I really disagree with the Soulless comment. It's something that I feel is perpetuated by individuals who really haven't experienced a performance EV. And the same way that some people may judge all EVs by a Leaf or a Model Y, I shouldn't judge all petrol cars by a factory Tercel. Tercels aren't fun, I'm sorry. No matter how I drive a Toyota Tercel, it's not fun unless I modify it. And same thing goes with performance EVs. You get a performance EV, it's a whole different monster to itself. It's a lot of fun. And we have a big event coming up end of May, last weekend of May at Long Beach. It's a 3-day event with a press event on Friday, an event Saturday and Sunday at the Convention Center in Long Beach. It's where I fell in love with EV bikes. They have bikes, trikes, you name it out there. You can get on them and drive around the complex. It's so much fun. Great place for the family. Come out there. And Tokistar, I will see you there as well. Are you going to the Long Beach Grand Prix this weekend, says John Jenkins. At this point, no, not yet. I may be able to get away. I have a lot of family commitments this weekend. This week is crazy, into the weekend. So a lot of events going on. I'll try and steal away. I'd love to, but I haven't put aside time to attend. I went last year. I've gone in the past. It is a blast. But I'll let you know if I go. And if I do, I'll put up plenty of content to show all the fun stuff that goes on at the Long Beach Grand Prix. Cheers, says Room 68 Scott. BC on YouTube, usually see your IG, but I opened YouTube and here you are. Yes, I am. I've been doing this quite a while. I want to actually share a lot of my insights all across the board and answer questions on many platforms. I'm really thinking about adding TikTok to this as well because there's TikTok Live and there may be some opportunities to answer questions for enthusiasts all across the globe. So yeah, I'm here on YouTube. I'll leave it up indefinitely as an archive. What I used to do in the past, I used to record it and then upload. Now I just thought, hey, live is good so many of you can attend and ask questions and have it up to exist as a reference and a catalog as well. Last build is just incredible, says Car Spotting Montreal Edition. Let me know which one, because we build a lot of cars, and sometimes the cars we built that people think are recent have been done for a while. One example is the Porsche Twin Turbo M16 that's back east right now, touring with Grid Life and Toyo tires. We built that car during the pandemic, and people think it's a new build. It's been around since 2021, pretty much. I think it was on Toyo's digital SEMA, on the virtual SEMA, it was on there. I think that was 2021. No, 2020, I think it was. Yeah, 2020. So It's been around since then. Not a new car, but let me know which one is. But I appreciate the kind words nonetheless. If you can go back in time, says Kovot, fellow engineer and great builder, by the way, and rebuild the K3V, what would you change? What would you prioritize more, assuming the same time and budget? What would I do on the K3V? That's a great question, Kovot. I probably would have taken more time in building it and interacted with more sources that were more reputable. So what I mean by that is, part of my problem with the K3V when building it was that I was kind of open to absorbing any information I could. I went online to forums. I went into YouTube channels, which was, that's probably the worst misinformation I received. I spoke to so-called gurus who kind of treated the whole EV world as dark black magic, which is kind of weird. The most viable information I received were from my OEM partners. So knowing that, I would have spoken to more of my OEM engineer peers more than not. And then I would have looked into, out the gate, exploring fast charging, then adding it later on. Because me having to add fast charging later on after having such a bad experience with level 2 J1772 charging, I had to invest even more, cut holes in my hood, which the holes in the hood has this slight weird kind of, I would say burn, but kind of welt on my hood, which you won't see it if you pay attention, but for someone like myself who's quite anal, it annoys the crap out of me, having that little uptick on my hood. I just don't like it. It makes me upset. I could have water jet my hood way later on, I mean earlier on, and done everything properly, and made a clean cut and nice and wrapped. I was upset. So I would have spent more time with my OEM partners getting information, and I would have hit the ground running with fast charging, because the fast charging capabilities of the K3V has been absolutely undisposable for me. It's absolutely a godsend. I couldn't function with that car without it. Particularly because, for those of you who don't know, I have a relatively small battery pack. And the setup is a 32 kilowatt hour setup, which when I misbehave, which is all the time, I get a little bit over 100 mile range. That's me just driving like a nincompoop. I can push it to 150 if I drive normally like a human, but I don't. And then when I get to any destination or anywhere nearby, I can just plug in fast charge, and about 23 minutes, I'm 100% again, I'm good to go again. But it's not fun if I didn't have that. I had one rally I tried to attend without it when I first built it, and it kicked my butt. Also, let me see, what else would I have done? I probably would have done something different by using, for my cradle, instead of trying to save weight and do aluminum for my cradle, for the drive unit and the rear batteries, I would have done chromoly, which I do now. Also, because battery technology continues to improve, Kovot, that setup is built in such a way that it is not possible easily to upgrade batteries without redesigning the entire rear of the car. Even though everything bolts in, the cradle that holds the drive unit and the batteries were designed specifically for those batteries that I'm running, which are the LG Chems you're familiar with. If we had some type of VDA 355 setup, kind of composition with solid state, if I were to impregnate those batteries into the K3V, I'd have to redesign the whole rear of the car, or use my current designs and just take everything out and update it. While the current setup that I build now for my customers all across the board allows for easy and flawless forward-thinking updates of battery technology. While everything else stays the same, you can in a straightforward manner just update the BMS wiring and then put in any battery style that you want and the car will be good to go, whether in parallel or series configuration. So that's what I would have done differently. That's a great question, Kovot, and thank you so much for asking that. Came in looking awesome, says Jaeger Pilot back there with the carbon fiber rims. Yes, it is. It's the one with the carbon fiber rims indeed. Yeah. Oh, I don't know if you're talking about this one or that one. They both have carbon fiber wheels from Carbon Revolution. This one, the gray one right there for street furring activity, I tend to go from between track carbon fiber to street Momo. So a little bit of both, you know? John Jenkins says, much love, BC. Hope to see you at the races, the historic class this year at Indy. Oh, I can't wait to see that as well. Guys, if you haven't experienced historical racing, whether it's kart or the old school Group 5 stuff, do it. It is amazing. Gives you more appreciation for what people were able to accomplish back in the day. But above and beyond that, it just arouses all the senses. It's really, really great. Love it, love it, love it, love it, love it. Okay, let's see here. Let's see. Oh, here we go. Amir, also, I was the one to ask you about the Boxer Transaxle a while ago. I'm hooking that Transaxle to a Chevy 380. Wow, that is cool. It's funny, I have a ton of Boxer Transaxles here, too. I have a lot of them. I think I have maybe one that's from a 2.7 and a bunch of 2.5s. And I like the 2.5 gearboxes because those engines out of the 2.5 early 986s didn't have a lot of torque. So the final drive in those gearboxes are much better. So no matter what I do, whether I build a large 3.4, a 3.8, even do something crazy with a 2.7, I always love to use my 2.5 gearboxes. They're just amazing. Anyway, if you have a need for some, I have some here I can let go for really cheap. Anyway, let me know. And good luck on that project, Amir. Love seeing your rides at the Peterson, says Drew Lowe's. Thank you so much. I am so fortunate, so honored to be able to have my creations or the team's creations here displayed at the Peterson Automotive Museum in Los Angeles. That place has exposed me to so many great friends, so many great clients, so much great opportunities as well. And the fact that Porsche allowed my vehicle to be on their display to commemorate 75 years of the brand existing is an honor indeed. And above and beyond that, it is the only electric vehicle there, the only zero emissions car in the entire display. So it's been ongoing on for about a year now. The K3V was there for many, many months, and it was swapped out, and the Mobi is now there, and the K3V is within, it's at my garage at home, actually. I'm going to be driving it tomorrow. And long story short, it's just been a blessing, and I look forward to doing more with the Peterson, and I really appreciate their dedication to our cause and also their advocacy as well. So if you haven't seen it, the display continues until June, July, so it's coming up very soon. You have a limited time to see the exhibit. Go by and take a look and let me know your thoughts. Let's see here. Okay. Wait. I'll see the Harmony. Yes. I plan on taking either the Odyssey or this. Maybe the Odyssey because that's been out for a while. So, yeah. I plan on going to the Lake Elsinore Honda meet, formerly known as Eibach, which is pretty cool. Hello, M. Demaru Ladi. Thank you so much for joining this Pitching My Tech Tuesday. Garage Tour says ECS Tuning, who does great things, by the way. I tend to do this separately because I have so much equipment in front of me. It's kind of hard to maneuver all of them around the garage, but I wouldn't mind doing that a little bit later because I do have my friends at YouTube here. You guys, my friends and family also on Instagram. And I'm doing also, let me see if I can move this around. You can see this. I'm actually doing a podcast recording as we speak as well. So and I have all this equipment set up in front of me. It looks kind of boring, but it's a lot. So it's kind of hard for me to maneuver. But ECS Tuning, love what you guys are doing. I heard that you guys are also branching off into EV performance world. Appreciate that indeed. And thank you so much. Do you have a Suzuki Swift Sports ZC33S intercooler? No, I do not. The only intercoolers I have in the house right now are those designed for air-cooled single or twin turbo applications for the air, you know, for the old school Porsche 930, 911s, and also those for the Veloster and i30N. So unfortunately, nothing in stock for Suzuki Swift Sports. Sorry about that. Amir says, also want to say thank you for being a contributing factor to my decision to get a 5-speed Boxster transaxle instead of a 6-speed transaxle. My pleasure indeed. I'm here to help. And guys, for those of you who may not know, I do this to give back. I do the Beast Motor Tech Tuesday to be that person that I needed when I was younger because I came to the United States as a teenager and I wanted to learn about cars and people could shun me away and no one wanted to help. And I swore that I wouldn't want that to happen to anyone. So if there's any question you have about projects, technology, anything I've done, I'm more than happy to share it. I have no chagrin whatsoever. Technology continues to improve and go forward, and I'll keep improving as well and keep sharing that information as well. So I want to be that person that I needed. I wish I had me when I was younger to ask questions, to provide that insight so I can be a better engineer, a better builder, and a faster driver. It's our inside joke with the Solis comment, says Tokister. I kind of figured that. Thank you so much. Appreciate it indeed. And the weird thing I'm getting now, talking about jokes against EVs, I'm seeing this whole weird toaster analogy, which I think is, I make fun of people and say, what are you talking about? It's most silly. I get what they're trying to say, but it's kind of really silly. But it's just really just sad. Sad indeed. And it's something like, would you cook a steak with a microwave? Wouldn't you want to cook a steak in an oven on a skillet slowly? I'm like, should I say, would you want to put gasoline on your steak and light it on fire and see how that tastes? It's a really silly analogy. First of all, EVs are pretty freaking fast and awesome, okay? I appreciate petrol, internal combustion. I appreciate EVs. I even like combine them when I can. They're great. But in California, where we exist, hell, in the United States where it exists with the EPA, it's becoming more and more difficult to comfortably have a lot of fun with internal combustion engines, especially when emissions are involved. So I want to eat my cake and have it too. I want to have a blast and not get in trouble. So for me, EVs are a ticket. And if as other technologies come to fruition, let's say hydrogen, I don't care if it's ammonia, whatever comes to fruition where I can have a lot of fun and go fast without getting in trouble, I'm all for it. I hated driving around and looking behind my back to see if I get pulled over by CHP or I'll be sent to a state ref or tagged as a gross polluter. I hated that stuff, you know? Above and beyond that, as a chemical engineer, I did understand the compounds of combustion, what I was putting in the atmosphere. And that's why all of my petrol cars, including this track car next to me, runs on alcohol, runs on ethanol. And so I'm trying to do my point to use a renewable fuel that's made of biomass to be able to have fun as much as I can. Smells cool, smells like tequila when the exhaust is on. It's pretty nice. And make a little bit more power because of the anti-knock properties of it. So it's kind of a win-win. But standard gasoline, I haven't touched a gasoline pump this year. And we're in April, almost May. I haven't touched the pump. It's just not my cup of tea. Rollerhead99 asks a great question, which I'm very ashamed. Really ashamed. He's asking, when are you going to do a collab with Hot Wheels? Why am I sighing? Because we have Rollerhead a lot. As a matter of fact, right here next to me, this car right here next to me, is a center seat Porsche twin turbo. The red one is here. There's a black one in the corner right under the side. And there's a gold one. Oh, believe it or not, yes, you're right. Red, black, and gold, German colors. The gold one is in the Hot Wheels Museum. They bought it from us. Above and beyond that, if you do a search for Beastie Motor Hot Wheel, you see that the Odyssey minivan is a Hot Wheel from Mattel. We have three, a blue, a silver, and red Beastie Motor Hot Wheels Type Rs. There's a Beastie Motor Turbo City that's in blue, Beastie Motor Blue that exists. There's a Beastie Motor NC1 NSX that exists as well, like a GT3 NSX that's Beastie Motor. We've done quite a bit with Hot Wheels, and we'll continue to do so as time progresses. So forgive me, Rollerhead, for doing a poor job in promoting that. But yes, we've done a lot with Hot Wheels and will continue as time progresses. Let's see here. Hello, M. Damaru, Laddie. Thank you so much for joining. Crazy to Boots, hello. Thanks for joining as well. Don't have an intercooler once again. Things are going well. Rob Face, appreciate you and your presence indeed. I'm getting to these questions and comments so slowly. Forgive me, guys. And I appreciate all your support. I love your advice, says Lego's boy Reef. Appreciate the kind words and support. The best is yet to come, as I always say. Okay. Stefan Azizi says, I'm afraid from the lithium ion where it take fire. Same way I'm afraid of sitting on a tank of gas that has a very low flash point that can ignite often. We just saw, where was I recently? I just saw a car fire. It was on the 210 freeway. So guys, if your concern is fire, and I get the sensitization, I get that a lot of people tend to gravitate towards EV hate. So whenever there's a rare, and it happens rarely, lithium ion fire, people tend to go crazy. We've had one here with a single battery cell, and it's quite spectacular, but it's not common. I've also had a fire occur in my blue Porsche 930. And we're able to turn that off and clean things up, and the car keeps going, right? So it happens no matter what. If you're afraid of fire, Stefanization, you shouldn't drive anything at all. You should just maybe ride a bicycle or explore horses. Whether it's petrol, whether it's even hydrogen, which has become a fairly popular way of transportation, and more of us are going to start experimenting with that coming up. That has some serious issues. Think Hindenburg, okay, with hydrogen. A lot of things can happen. So please, Stefanization, don't let something that could happen, which is a rarity, affects your decision in exploring any type of propulsion. Because at this time, all means of propulsion that exist today all have a propensity to explore fires. Okay, let's see here. So much love. Appreciate you guys. Thank you so much. Thanks for the hearts. Amir, because I was worried of not being able to hold around 500 pounds of Chevy motor. And you know, you could, in factory form, you may not, but with a few updates, you could. The K-Series, catch me out. As a matter of fact, if you wanted to do 400 wheel, which to the crank is a little bit closer, to, you know, can get you closer to the mid-400s, or you can do that with a stock K24 motor. You can literally get a a cheap K24 Z7 or Z3, like what I run in that. Get one of those exhaust manifolds from PRL. Bolt on a T3, T4 turbo, one of the G-series from Garrett, with some injector upgrades on E85 and an engine management solution. Boom, you're making 400 wheels stock on a K24Z. How awesome is that, right? So there's so many opportunities. I'm still leaning towards a K-series for application, especially in a cost-effective manner. Laughing out Louie 88 says, you are the man, BC, class act. Appreciate your wisdom and input on everything. Thank you so much. Appreciate the kind words. Once again, I'm just your humble servant here to assist whenever I can. Do you think ethanol can raise octane point if it's mixed with regular gasoline? Yes, subnization, it does. In California, standard 91 octane has 10% of ethanol. And then as you add more and more methanol, I mean, there's so many people that run Type R, Honda Civics, that run E50 for that very same reason, where the anti-knock capabilities are much higher, where the octane point rises significantly. If you can run E90, E100, that's even more. So yeah, you can push the envelope. On my blue M30 that makes 920, does that on E85. On petrol, it barely pushes the 600 mark without getting closer to knock. So yeah, absolutely you can do that with much success. Also keep in mind that chassis and everything will be way around 1,600 pounds. I'm telling you, you're going to have a blast, Amir. Do it, do it, do it. Let me know. Move to Florida. No emission requirements, says King Ram Singh. Yes and no. No emission requirements for maybe the local jurisdiction, but for the Environmental Protection Agency, they are nationwide. And that's why you see people like Diesel Brothers getting busted. They're not in California. You see people like Evans Tuning, who was back east, get busted. He was not in California. What's the other facility that's in Utah? Same thing. There's no local emission requirements, but the EPA was still going there and made an example of that facility out in Utah. So that being said, it's not a CARB or California Air Resource Board thing. It is an Environmental Protection Agency thing. It's nationwide, guys. So how can I have fun, eat my cake, and have it too? Zero emissions vehicles. That's the way to go, and that's what we'll keep doing. Now, don't get me wrong. I'll still assist and sell parts and help you guys out with whatever you need. But for me to take emissions equipment off a car, buy a car from an auction, get a proper car, and start taking off catalysts, not doing it. No, sorry, Bob. Not doing it at all. No, 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 no. Much love, BC, says Castillo Engine Rebuilding. Oh, great, guys. Jorge, thank you so much for joining from Castillo. You guys do a great job. Keep up the great work. Always admire you guys for years and years and years. Laughing out Louis 88 says, EV is definitely the future. You're the man for grabbing the EV by the horns and leading the way in EV performance tuning. Thank you so much. And something I take a lot of pride in. I am not interested. I must repeat, guys. Hello, warrior fella on YouTube. I am not interested at all in putting around EVs. I repeat, I'm not interested in putting around EVs. Same way I'm not interested in having a bone stock Mitsubishi Colt. Same way I'm not interested in having a bone stock Toyota Yaris. Same way I'm not interested in having a bone stock Corolla. I am not interested in factory EVs. I like the fun stuff. I like the ones that scare you. You know that video I posted recently with the that Mike Farah did, and he drove the IROC Porsche twin turbo and said, this is going to kill you. That's the same feeling you have with the K3V. You go even half throttle. There's a switch I have under my dash. Should I even sharing this? But I'm going to share it anyway. Because I love Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, and I have a lot of Easter eggs in all my cars that kind of reference one thing or another. There's a switch under my dash that you hit, and it goes to infinite probability mode. With that, all of my thermal and power safety fail safes are offline. And when you floor it, it gives it all. It ignores everything. The only thing that it won't ignore is if I happen to sag below the lower cell limit of any of the cells in my car. You floor that thing and you freak. I almost crashed. I've only used it twice and I'm gonna crash both times. I'm like, never again. I love that fear. I love that thing. It's scary. And by the way, I'm on slicks on this car and still it spins like crazy. So that being said, thanks for the kind words. Laughing out Louie. I'll continue to push the envelope and do crazy things. The team and I are here doing back. I think Jonathan's back there. There's crazier stuff we're building, crazier than K3V. In a matter of weeks, you guys will see what we have coming out. It's just sick stuff coming out, indeed, you know? Have you looked into a tow-behind generator trailer for the K3V for infinite road trip range? No, I have not. I saw something at the Peterson, speaking of them, where the earlier versions of the Tesla Roadster had that. And it was courtesy of, what is the company out in San Dimas? I'm drawing a blank on this company. Not far in the future. It'll come to me. But it's, think of this kind of weird-looking Lotus Elise car with like a small trailer behind it towing batteries. And I love for that. So I haven't thought of that. It may just cramp my style because I like how the car looks and how clean it is. But I haven't thought of that. But that's not a bad idea. One of these days, maybe I should design something like that for really long-range trips. As a matter of fact, that's not a bad idea. Rikuchu, I wouldn't mind doing something like that. So if I'm going to do like a crazy 400-mile rally, I can just tow an additional, geez, what should I do? Another 46 kilowatt hours behind me, 42 kilowatt hours behind me, and I'd be good to go, right? And it shouldn't be that bad. It may weigh close to 400 pounds, but it wouldn't be that bad at all. And I can make it look cool, maybe make it look kind of aerodynamic. Huh. I'm not opposed to that, Ryukachu. Not opposed at all. Thanks for sharing that indeed. All right. Devin Plaster says, yes, German engineering for the semi industry. Studied a little back in school. Hydrogen power, I think, will become dominate or long haul. Heavy trucking rather than EV. And I think so too. It depends. You know, on the same token, hydrogen is a very viable opportunity, especially for mass transport. Battery technology is also improving significantly as well. And the ability to find cells that are solid state, lightweight, more power and energy density, much safer, and have a very high C-rating so it can charge and discharge rapidly, things may change. Or maybe the combination of the two. Either way, it's going to be fun, exciting, and I want to be part of it. All right, let's see here. My pleasure, Stephanization. My pleasure indeed. Built the motor already. Have the adapter plate, the flywheel. Going to drop in the drivetrain in the street and send me pictures. I want to check it out. Please send me pictures, Amir. So proud of you. Keep it up. Keep it up. Keep it up. Keep it up. Also, what boxer clutch and pressure plate do you have since I'm roughly the same horsepower? Piece of cake. I can help you with that. Amir, send me a DM. I can get something really nice made for you that won't break the bank, especially if you're kind enough to use a flywheel that goes with the gearbox. I may even have something here. Send me a DM. Let's make something happen for you, by all means, okay? I'm thinking six-puck clutch sprung so you can take away any harshness and some semi-metallic matrix on each of the pucks to give some longevity and grip. Yeah, send me a message. Let's get you something. Let's get you something in there. Post haste. I'm planning on K24 swap for my fifth generation Honda Prelude. Great idea. I'm telling you, the K-Series is the mini LS swap of the future. Awesome indeed. Awesome indeed. The meaning of life, says Greg Tregg. Are you referencing Hitchhiker's Guide to Galaxy? And if you are, I'm very proud of you. Very proud of you indeed. All right, guys, I do have to run. And thank you so much, Laughing Out Louie, for the kind words. Appreciate that indeed. But I have to run. Have to keep working. Haven't had lunch yet. I'm quite famished, actually. But nonetheless, guys, thank you so much for joining me on this Tech Tuesday. Appreciate each and every one of you. I'll be here next week, same time, same opportunity. Have any questions? Let's chat then. In the meantime, stay safe, stay fast, and see you soon. Cheers. Bye-bye.